T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Now past 11 o'clock, live in St. Louis, Missouri, connecting you coast to coast, really. No. Connecting you border to border. That's better. See, you are not out there alone tonight. Many of you are connected through this radio program. It's as if I were to do some subliminal messaging, we can put together something very, very evil. Oh, I should do a more evil laugh than that. I was having a great conversation earlier today with Clint Hosse. You may have heard Clint Hosse's work. He was part of the holiday radio show this year, and he put together a song about KMOX that was just excellent. I loved it. I thought it was just wonderful, and we played it a lot on this radio program, and I'm sure you'll hear it many more times in the future. But part of the song was just going through some of his favorite KMOX personalities over time. And he's got a great love of KMOX growing up here. And at the end of the profile where I was talking to him about his music career, I asked him if he'd stick around for a couple minutes because I wanted to ask him about some of his KMOX memories of Jim White. And I thought, you know what? People would enjoy hearing these stories. If I enjoyed hearing it behind the scenes, I'm sure there are other people that would enjoy hearing it too. Clint Hosse, it just happened to have you in studio. I wanted to talk to you about Jim White because you worked with him for, let's see, so 93 till 99 when he retired, several years. What was it like working with him?
Well, you know, the persona that he projected on air was sometimes, you know, people might think he was a jerk or abrupt or whatever. And some people
good night.
Yeah. I mean, it was comical to most people. And so I never knew what he would really be like when I first met him, and I was a little bit cautious. But Jim White in person was like a teddy bear.
Yeah. I mean,
just the nicest guy, and I always enjoyed Tom Langmire and I, the former program director and general manager. We'd go to lunch with Jim every so often. I went on appointments with Jim. He'd make himself available for that.
Did you go to the Concord Grill?
We went to the Concord Grill.
Yeah. That was his place, I understand.
Yeah, he liked that. We would go, sometimes we'd go to Tucker's over in Soulard because it was just close. But I really enjoyed my relationship with Jim White. I mean, just an amazing broadcaster and great human being.
Would you actually see him at the station during daylight hours, or was he just someone that would come in for special occasions?
My recollection is that he just came in for special occasions.
Yeah.
I mean, the times that we would go to lunch, he was probably here for some other reason, and then we'd grab lunch afterwards.
Yeah. You worked with a lot of different personalities at KMOX. You were, let's see, so Charlie Brennan would have been here before you. He was here late 80s when he started.
That's right.
But he was still pretty young member of the KMOX staff at that point.
Yes.
Did you ever work with Charlie directly?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Many times.
What kind of things would you do?
Well, we did a lot of live endorsement type campaigns together, and Charlie would accompany me on some appointments where necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we had a great time. I'm a big fan.
What would an endorsement rate look like in 93? Was it for KMOX and radio in general in the 90s was like about to hit its peak. And then in the 2000s, it starts to decline. So in the 90s, I've heard some unbelievable stories about ad rates and endorsement rates and things like that. That must have been a booming time to work for KMOX.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, if with regard to specific rates, I mean, my recollection is Charlie Brennan was, you know, $350 a commercial.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, it was we didn't really do much of that in the morning and morning drive.
Was that the morning meeting or what was it called?
It was the morning meeting.
Yeah.
And you know the origin of that, right?
No.
In the One Memorial Drive building, because I didn't know this either. And I would say, why is the show called The Morning Meeting? And that's because Mr. Hyland would have a meeting every morning in the conference room on the third floor, and it was referred to as The Morning Meeting. Mm-hmm. So Charlie Brennan and Kevin Horrigan kind of named their show after that. You have to ask Charlie the exact specifics on it, but that was what I was always told. I hope that's accurate.
Yeah. Did you ever listen to Jim White on the radio before you started working here?
Oh, yeah.
He was the thing late night, wasn't he?
He was. And it was so casual. I mean, like, and Ryan, you have this quality, too, mm-hmm. you know, where it's just a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And you're just having some fun. And, you know, Jim White would have the lady that would call in and play the piano. And Jack Buck had that, too. I used to love it when Jack Buck would fill in for Jack Carney.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be humming a tune. And it was just, you're a radio companion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jim White was.
Yeah. He had something special there.
Yeah, and you just keeping people company and being their friend, and it was fun.
30 years doing that. In radio, that is a rarity to find someone to work at a station, let alone 10 years or 5 years even more. Man, you even look at some of the turnover that happens in television with news anchors, and sometimes it's hard to keep up because you'll see someone, and the next week it's someone different. Same thing with radio stations. You'll hear someone, it's someone different. It's so rare. You look at the longevity of people have here at KMOX. It's unbelievable. Like even our former executive producer, Peggy Cohill,
right.
She was here 30-some years
yeah.
before she just retired last year. You know, I'm sure you worked with Peggy
yes.
and all them. That is unbelievable. You just don't see it. What a rarity to have a KMOX like that.
Yeah, I think it speaks to the culture, you know, that we were talking about earlier. I really think it has everything to do that with that. Not to take anything away from anybody's talent. But it's a unique place. It's its own planet. It really is, in my experience.
Do you remember any of the Jim White Halloween specials?
A little bit. I don't think I could remember anything specific, but I remember
curious.
Him doing that.
He's had a couple of different specials and things he would do at night. When I go back and look through some of the KMOX archives, it's fun to hear some of the things that they decided to archive for Jim White, because they didn't have a... You know, here's Jim White for, you know, this night, that night. It wasn't like they just picked random shows. The only things I've been able to find are reels of compilations, and they'll put callers in there, funny callers. There's a couple of songs he had from the holiday radio show where he was singing. He was
right.
Someone that would sing. Would he sing on his show?
I think maybe a little bit from my recollection.
It's hard to get the courage to sing in front of people if you're not used to doing it. He didn't really strike me as a musician, someone that would perform a lot, but man, he went out there and he gave it his all and it sounded great,
yeah.
I thought. He was just a performer, I guess.
He was, yeah, definitely.
A lot of performers on this radio station over the years. Pretty amazing. Clint Hosse, thank you so much for sharing some memories.
Thank you.
Isn't that cool? I thought that was so cool. All right, so I just want to play this real quick, and I know we're running late, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's 11:14, and if you enjoyed talking some Jim White, I found this from the KMOX archives. Jim White, a very special recording from a very special person.
Hello, Jim. This is Jack Carney, and I know it's your 10th anniversary, and I wanted to be in the studio in person to wish you a happy anniversary, but you know this is the day before St. Patrick's Day, and I'm out getting a few things done before the parade tomorrow, so I thought I'd just take this little opportunity to wish you happy 10th anniversary. I have a lot of respect for Jim White, folks. I have to tell you that. This is a courageous broadcaster. This is a man who doesn't know the meaning of the word fear. There are lots of words he doesn't know. He doesn't know taste. He doesn't know chair, table, a book. He's got a lot of problems. But Jim, quiet, Clarence. But Jim, I'll tell you something. It's an accomplishment spending 10 consecutive years doing what you're doing. And we don't know, most of us, what that is. I think that's why you've lasted for 10 years. Jim, we've been waiting for you to start something. Clarence, try. No, it's late for you to try and stay up, will you? So, Jim, honestly, a very, very happy 10th anniversary. And let me just add this, my friend. As Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time. But when you've got 50,000 watts and a beautiful wife, you can get away with it for 10 years. Happy anniversary, Slim.
Well, it lasted another 20 after that. Jim White was on this very radio program at this very time for 30 years, 69 to 99. Really great. Thought you'd enjoy that. Couple of memories there. You see what's next in cars trying to appeal to millennials? I have a couple of stories about that. And do you know the symbols on your dash? Like, let's say, tire pressure gauge. You can see a lot of these newer cars have these little gauges or electronic sensors in them to let you know when your tire pressure is low. Do you know what that symbol looks like? Well, not everyone does. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Local news from St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather station, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, and wow, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the country, and man, it is nearly impossible to track them all. Did you enjoy going back in time, hearing some stories about Jim White? I love that clip, Jack Carney's message to Jim White on his 10th anniversary. So cool. You know, I'm trying to think of who would say a few words on my 10th anniversary. It'd be producer Mike, huh? That's the highest profile person that would be able to get. So big thumbs up to you, producer Mike. Thank you. No, I'm not acting like you're low profile. I'm just saying it's as good as it gets. I don't even know you anymore. You shave your beard off. You look completely different. It literally shaves 10 years off your face. You do look like you are 20. What was that? I don't even want to describe what I'm seeing there. All right. Cars and technology. And I saw a photo, one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. I want you to think of a Jeep extended. So it's got a second row seating. And it looks like on the very top of it is this some sort of tent contraption that also has these solar panels and Wi-Fi boosters on it. So at the very top, let's say this Jeep has a hard top. It's almost like if you're going to go camping, here's an emergency tent you could strap onto the top luggage rack. And it kind of carries over as if sleeping on the top of your car is the best option. I guess in some cases it might be, but still. But it's got this other hard top on top of it. Because people are realizing that if you want to sell to the youngins, RV dealers and some of these more extravagant car dealerships that want to fit these vehicles, they realize they have to put on Wi-Fi signal boosters in case you're at a location where it's difficult to get a signal, USB ports, solar panels. And how expensive are these things? I think they're pricing out of the market. What millennial or person my age hasn't thought about how cool it would be to have one of these, but then realize we don't got the money to put something down on this. Like, for example, would you go spend $100,000 on a camper right now if you are a millennial, someone that's, let's say, under the age of 35? How in the world would you be able to afford something like that? You know, there's these stories coming out, and people are warning millennials can't even afford homes anymore because of their student debt. So you're saying that we're just going to skip the homes and we're going to start spending on things like giant RVs? I just don't see it happening. Says people nowadays want all the comforts of home, said the president of the Colorado-based Cousins RV dealership. The RV industry has been aggressively targeting millennials for 7 years, hoping to tap into a group of buyers who traditionally shied away from the lifestyle once associated primarily with retirees. Totally understand it. Totally understand it. But if they're trying to appeal to the people that don't have money, then I don't know. I guess you want to tap into that, but at the same time, you realize they make terrible financial decisions, so you feel, oh, what's the harm? It says the classic but newly manufactured Airstream in the company's instantly recognizable aluminum fish. They got a picture of it. That Airstream does look awesome. Many of the smallest RVs and trailers contain solar panels, entertainment systems, wiring to change smartphones and tablets for a power plug-in, extra amenities. They call it not camping, but glamping, as in glamour camping. 36 and a 38-year-old say that they don't want to struggle too much when they go out, so they want to go and spend money on these very expensive RVs. Richard Curtin, who is a professor at the University of Michigan's Survey Research Center, predicts about 453,000 RVs will ship from manufacturers to dealers this year, down from about 479,000 in 2018, just a year ago. So 450,000 still seems like a lot. Are there really that many that are selling? Are they really selling 453,000 RVs a year? I don't know how that's even possible. That number seems Amazing. Well, good for the RV industry to be able to put something like that up there. They said slow sales were inevitable due in part to the fact that Americans have bought RVs over the past decade tend to drive them older. Most RVs costing more than $25,000 qualify for long-term loans because banks classify them as second homes rather than vehicles or trailers. Go buy a second home. That would be pretty fun. I tell you what I would love to do. I would love to get an RV, equip it to broadcast out of the back, and just travel and do the show. Wouldn't that be awesome? Now, I know the technology is not necessarily there for something like that, but the way they extend these satellite systems, you can get, what, they're moving towards 5G. That's enough to do live broadcasting from wherever, whenever. Those old RVs, there's a lot of radio stations, major market radio stations, that used to have them as their broadcasting center. They'd pull up to a location, and they'd broadcast out of it. They would just make it so it looked like a studio. They would open up the side of it. I know a lot of major markets like Boston used to have one that was popular. I think over on the West Coast in Seattle, they used to use them too. That's a kind of a cool deal. Just ridiculous. One other car thing, and it's funny because the same group of people they're trying to sell to, the millennials, are also the ones that don't understand what the actual symbols on their dashboard are. So 49% of young drivers and 39% of all drivers were unable to recognize the warning light on their dashboard. 49% of young drivers that didn't know what the warning light meant. That's half. I mean, let's just say it's half. 50%? Are you kidding me? You know what those same drivers were able to recognize? You know, the emojis. You can give them any emoji that's on their phone, and 88 to 90% of them will be able to identify exactly what that emoji means. If you don't know what emoji is, when you're on a phone or whatever, it's the smiley face, the frowny face, you know, the different faces that you can put onto your text messaging or sometimes, you know, on your computer or whatever you're direct messaging someone. One of those symbols is the tire monitoring system light that will let you know if the sensor indicates that the pressure is low in the tire. They don't know what that means. No one knows what any of these things mean. They did a survey of 1,000 drivers, both millennial and Generation Z. More than 1.5 times as likely to identify the eye roll emoji or the Wi-Fi symbol correctly before they can actually identify the tire warning light. That's who they're selling to on these things. Just crazy to me. Let me get to Mike real quick, who's calling in from St. Louis. Mike, what's going on?
Hello. But anyway, I got some interesting to tell you. Bubba wants to tell you something to make you feel good. That's what Mike Anderson, and this is it. Bubba wants to let you know, Ryan Record, you are awesome. You ought to be famous. Anybody can put up with Bobo is awesome, including the producer, Mike Anderson, and the callers. Man, you ought to be the fame.
It does take a saint to deal with Bobo. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, and Bobo's been suspended at work and brought back.
Oh, really? No, I want to hear about this. What do you mean Bobo's been suspended? What happened?
Oh, when Bobo says something funny and they laugh, and they say, no more Bobo. And then you say something else, and they say, oh, Bobo's back. And they start laughing again. But Bobo thinks you're awesome. No flattery. You ought to have fame written in every book. But that's awesome. How many station producers or like Mike Anderson, wonderful talk show hosts like you in the audience put up with Bobo?
Too many, yeah.
You might set the Guinness Book of Records, so don't be so hard on yourself.
most people annoyed at any one given time. You know, they always do those sort of things. I can't believe Bobo was outlawed at your work. Now, Mike, that should indicate to you you're doing it too much. You gotta only bring it out at regular, small portions. You can't just do it all the time.
No, you know what happens for real? When Bobo stops, when I first started this, she's very mentioned, people got mad. And then they go, where's Bobo? And then when I don't do it, the same ones complain, guess what they do? They start asking for Bobo again.
I will be honest, Mike, not one time during my vacation I thought, man, I wish I could talk to Bobo right now. I got to say, not one time.
Hey, now, I didn't plan to say this, but I'll tell you something real quick if you let me.
It better be good, yeah.
It's good. It's about cars. It's not Bobo.
Okay.
Did you know there's a gentleman, I don't know, if you look it up on Facebook or YouTube, he built a bike and made it out of a car, a bicycle, and it drives, I think, 60 miles an hour, and that's what he uses to work. I think they call it a hot something.
Huh.
It's like he'd put it, yeah, he built a car. There's only one person that you put over your head, and you drive around 60 miles an hour. He took a bicycle and made it into like an automobile. It's really neat looking.
Is that what you want, something like that?
No, me, seriously, and I know people, I would love to have a self-driving car.
Yeah.
And I think they'd be a blessing instead of a curse. I think they get a bum rap. And if you worry about people, I didn't plan on talking about it. If you worry about them hitting people, they say more humans hit people than the self-driving cars. It's a shame they can't work something out where it worked good for both people who want to drive and not to take their independence away and for handicap. Or it'd be nice for both ways.
Okay, great. All right, Mike, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the kind words.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Mike's, you know, it's interesting because it's a very small sample size when it comes to self-driving cars. They only have a few of them out there that are testing, and they're in select locations. You know how people say that you're just as likely or maybe more likely to cause an accident by driving under the speed limit on the freeway? That's how I see self-driving cars. It's what it causes around it that's dangerous. Now, the self-driving car by itself, yeah, they could be tricked. There's instances where it mistook the side of a semi for the road and it slams into the side. There's been fatalities involved with this. And I understand if you look at statistically speaking, you may say it's safer based on the amount of mileage the self-driving cars have drove, but it's such a small sample size. And if you were to take probably the total number of self-driving cars versus the total number of cars out there and proportion it in a way to say, okay, how many of them have been in accidents now? It wouldn't fare so well for the self-driving car because they're still trying to work out all of the problems in it. But that's a side point. All right, coming up, did you see Governor Parsons' proposals? He had a state of the state earlier today. It was not a primetime address. It was a daytime address. Doesn't want to stay up late. I get it. I understand. So we're going to go over that. You heard it in the news. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
It's impossible not to feel cool if you're in the car and this song comes on the radio, just scanning or whatever. You know what I got in the mail? Because we're a union station. Well, at least the radio on-air talent is part of the SAG-AFTRA. And SAG-AFTRA have their own awards. And because of that, and since by default I'm a member of the union, I also get a vote in the movie. So they send you these little samplers. And I got a sample for the Freddie Mercury movie just in the mail yesterday. Or was it earlier today? No, it was yesterday. I don't watch movies anymore. I feel like I'm the worst person for them. They're wasting sending me these things. And you know what they say right on it? They send you these screeners. They're going to be used in order to help you see all the movies in time so you can vote and know that you're putting a vote together with an educated type of ballot, right? Well, they say right on there you have to destroy them after. It's kind of like the old Mission Impossibles where almost essentially you open it up and it starts to fizz a little bit, or Inspector Gadget's probably better. This message will self-destruct. That's what they're going to do in the future, I'm sure. So I wanted to talk about Governor Parson. He had an address earlier today over in Jefferson City. He's proposing a $351 million bond to repair or replace 250 bridges across the state. Now, in November, it was voted down the 10-cent a gallon increase to help pay for roads and bridges, which I thought was actually a good deal. We don't want to turn into Michigan when it comes to our roads. Some of the worst roads I've seen ever, anywhere. The state's too big, they don't have the budget, and they just don't put it into it. Their potholes are the size of tires. I mean, it's insane. And you think you've seen some potholes around here? I'll give major credit to St. Louis. I think they address things fairly quickly around here. But when you talk about infrastructure updates and bridges, remember how scary that was about a decade ago in Minneapolis when that bridge collapsed? We have inspectors every year or however often. I don't know how many or how often it is. But they'll go and they'll inspect and they'll give you a grade if these bridges are drivable or if they're safe to go over. And you look at some of these progress reports. Sure, they're not going to be as shiny as they were the day you put them in. But they're nowhere near even the halfway point of their lifetime. They are on the tail end of their lifetime. We have to do something. We shouldn't have to be afraid every time we go over a bridge if the thing's going to give out. We shouldn't have to have that fear. And you have to be proactive in things like this because it's essential. Roads are essential. You can't live without them. What are you going to do? You're going to hop in your flying pod like George Jetson and you're off to work. You got your little rosy robot. Time to hop in your robot and then go to work. No, we're not going to have that in by the time the roads collapse and the potholes are so bad that you could put entire refrigerators in there, we got to address them ahead of time. And the, I mean, I don't see many other ways to do it. I thought the gas tax was a good way to handle it, but So that was one of the things he laid out. He wants to take out a bond. We'll see if that goes, but they got to do something. And really, I don't think you have much else of a choice. It says, over the years, we've seen proposals go before the voters and fail, but this cannot and does not mean we are expected to do nothing. That is why I'm asking you to consider an infrastructure plan. While funded through our budget savings, we will give it'll give us the ability to begin immediate work on nearly 250 bridges across the state, all in need of critical repair or replacement. You got to. You want it to be speedy. You don't want this thing to linger for a decade, right? You want to get it done. You don't want to have to give everyone the headache of ongoing construction. Ugh. You know, what you don't want to happen is to have a newborn, and then by the time they go to school, they're still working on it, you know, 5-6 years down the line. Yeah, I think you have to, and I don't really see another way to do it other than that gas tax proposal, which got shot down. So unfortunately, what can you do? He had a couple other ones, too. This is kind of fascinating. He's proposing a new grant program to help adults get the degrees they need for high-paying and high-demand jobs, we should say. Not necessarily high-paying. But the budget of state of the state address, he proposed a $22 million program for higher education department that could help about 16,000 people annually. The grants would cover up to 4 semesters of tuition for adults over the age of 25 with household-adjusted gross incomes of less than $80,000. You know what I don't understand? If you have a household income of $80,000, do you really need to go back to school for this unless you're in an industry that has a threat of disappearing? I mean, if you're working in a place and your household income is at 80 grand, you're doing pretty good. I don't see that as a, oh, you better re-educate yourself. No, I only if you anticipate that job to disappear at some point, as in it's almost a guarantee it's going to disappear at some point. So the grants could be used to pursue degrees in higher needed skill areas. Parson is proposing to close the state prison, the Crossroads Correctional Center in Cameron. Department of Corrections officials say the consolidation is made possible because the number of prisoners in Missouri have declined since September of 17. For the first time outlining his budget, delivering the State of the State address, he said that he is ready to make a difference and mark a different tone than Greitens, who, you know, didn't make much friends there. Okay. You know what? I think there's just a lot of things that need to happen, and you got to act. He's absolutely right. There's absolutely no reason to believe that the roads will magically fix themselves. Let me get to Joe in St. Louis. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. I'm going to compliment your work. I first tuned in to you last week, and I got on the air with you, and you were a more than fair man to me, gave me plenty of time to give my opinion, and I thank you. What I wanted to bring up tonight was you were talking about George Jetson.
Yeah.
And they had recently done a study, and this is crazy, but regarding electric cars. And so they said to people, you know, they said, what kind of sound? Because obviously you don't want something that makes no sound. So people wouldn't hear it. Okay. They'd get hit. And the surprising thing was the sound that was most voted on by these people was that sound of George Jetson's vehicle. Isn't that crazy?
Like that sound?
Yeah, exactly.
So there would be an artificial speaker they put into an electric car that would make that noise?
I would assume. You know, who knows how they'd get that to broadcast out and stuff, but that's what they were saying. And last thing I want to say real quick is I know you're another guy that likes Sweetwater, and that's a great place to do business with.
You're talking about Sweetwater Sound, the sound company?
Yeah, up in Indiana. Yeah.
Oh, how do you know about them?
Well, I'm an audio engineer, so I know about those kind of things.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that is a cool industry to be in, for sure. I didn't know you're an audio engineer. Well, that's neat. Okay.
Yeah, it's a living.
Sweetwater sounds excellent. I used to live up there, so I visited them many times. They couldn't be nicer, and what a great company. They're expanding. There's a reason why they're the largest when it comes to those mail order parts and things. It's just because they're so good at what they do.
Oh, they are. They are so good. And also, too, what I found interesting is Mitch, who, you know, puts out their paper, their quarterly, he really has changed over the years. I don't know if you recall what he was like about 20 years ago, but he was a real nerdy guy. And all at once, they did a remake on him, and, like, they turned him into a hip modern guy now, you know.
A hip modern guy. Oh, that's
there
fun.
You go.
All right, thanks,
hey,
Joe.
Thanks, friend.
We'll see you.
Yeah,
bye.
Talking to you.
All right. I'm trying to see if I can get this to work. Let's see if this is the sound effect. Oh, it's not working. Oh, I thought I had it, but it's not going. I'm going to have to see if I can find this Jetson sound effect that he was talking about. No one would literally put some sort of artificial sound onto their vehicle if they didn't have to. Wouldn't that be annoying? I mean, do you need like a beacon, a beep or something? Which are quiet vehicles and things. I understand. There are concerns. You get a vehicle sneaking up on you if you're maybe hard of sight and you're walking around, you got your cane and you think you can cross because you don't hear anything coming. And next thing you know, it's because an electric vehicle making no noise is creeping up on you and doesn't see you, not paying attention, whatever it is. 314-436-7900. It's Overnight America, Gamo X.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on Gamo X.
You know, I want to play this because I might as well. What I wanted to do was try to play this out. When I go to work, I'm always walking out the door. I'm getting my things. I'm getting my lunch. And I say, honey, I'll see you later. Hop into my car. Bye. Love you. See you later. Just on my way to work now. See you later. Go to KMX. Is that what people want? Is that where the demand is? That's surprising to me. I'm leaving work. Producer Mike, see you later. Good show today. Thank you. There I go. Bye. What a crazy thing. People actually want that for their vehicle. Daryl calling in. Hey, Daryl, what's going on?
Director, thanks for taking my call, man. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You sound like you're a little bit younger than me, so maybe you don't remember or don't know, but once upon a time, the original Volkswagen Beetle did sound just like that.
Really?
That's why they called it a Beetle, because it made that sound. And it's also, I suspect, why the new Beetle never really caught on and was a major, major seller. But yes, if you heard an original engine on a Beetle, on an original Beetle from 50s, 60s, you'd hear that chirp.
From
no lie.
50 or 60s? All right, hold on. I'm loading up one and see if this makes the noise.
All right.
I'm trying to find one that is making it, because they don't sound like it.
Keep in mind, it's not identical, but there is a chirp there like that.
Beetle, 19, you said 1950s?
60s, 50s, sure, something like that.
Did you have one?
No, but as a kid growing up, I did hear the engine. I knew what it sounded like.
Can you give me an impression of what it sounds like?
I don't need to. You just played a sound of it from the Jetson.
It sounded just like that?
It sounded a lot like that, yes.
All right, hold on.
And it did increase in pitch and speed when you sped up, when you accelerated, when you gave it gas.
Why did people like that?
What do you want me to tell you? I'm not a trained professional here. I'm just an old man that happens to remember something about a car that you're too young to remember. That's all.
Daryl, I think that you may be remembering something that people want to forget, because there's no reason why anyone should have this on their vehicle.
I don't know what to tell you, man. That's what it sounded like many odd years ago.
Okay.
I think that's why they actually called it a Beetle, because it did sound like a bug chirping.
Okay. Thanks, Daryl. Good to hear from you.
Bye.
All right, bye. Let me see if I can find. So here's a 67 Volkswagen Bug. I guess I don't hear it. No, I don't hear it there. Let's see. What else is there? Can I find one 67 VW Beetle Audio? All right, let's try this one. See if they start this thing up. I can get it, them starting the engine. Oh, I can't get it. All right. Well, either way, I've never heard that. Yeah, I'm not a huge car guy. I know enough of, you know, to get a general feel of what might be wrong with the vehicle. not a mechanic level by any means, but yeah, I'm at least able to do my own repairs on something like this. I got a couple stories. These are kind of fascinating. Which one do I want to start with? Chris Hansen, you remember him from To Catch a Predator on NBC? I almost feel bad for the guy because there's a mugshot of him. He got arrested, and immediately you think, uh-oh, did he do something? Was he one of his own targets trying to meet up with a minor after chatting with them? No, actually, he was arrested over bouncing some checks. So he owed a dude some cash, almost $13,000. He bought coffee mugs, T-shirts, vinyl decals from a mom-and-pop shop, and hasn't paid the vendor. Ordered all this stuff, took the stuff. I'm sure he used his celebrity as Chris Hansen to say, oh, don't worry, I'll pay you back or whatever. Or, you know, just send me an invoice and I'll be able to pay it back to you because, you know, the corporation does it, so I have to get an invoice before you get payment. Well, they tried to collect, didn't. And then Chris allegedly offered to make 4 partial payments and then sent them a check that bounced, sent them a second check that bounced, begged for more time. Then the owner just called police. They arrested him. His mugshot's out there. I almost feel bad for him just based on his television program. People are going to see his mugshot and immediately associate him with the content of that television show he's on. You know what surprises me, too? You can be on a national television show and still not have money to pay off a $13,000 order that you made to a business. When I think of someone that's on national television, and I know he's not on NBC anymore, but he still reports and he does different things, and he actually does have a television show that's out right now. Is it True TV or it's one of those networks where they brought back the To Catch a Predator thing where they have chat logs and they bring the predator to a house and then they arrest him afterwards? That's actually back on the air. So he's working. Here's another story, and this is kind of Law and Order. And man, I like this guy. He's a former Detroit Lions defensive back. He's in the news. His name is Tony Beckman. Do you remember him at all? He hasn't played in a long time. The last year he played for the Lions was 2007, so it's been an awful long time, over 10 years ago. It doesn't sound like he is someone that saved all his money or whatever it is, but it doesn't matter. That's not the point of this. But so a former Detroit Lions defensive back making headlines after he beat up a man. This is how it all went down, and I think what this guy did is not only justified, but I'm so happy he did it, and I'm glad there weren't any charges pressed against him. So he told the television station WPBF in West Palm Beach that early in the morning, about 6:40, his 15-year-old daughter was coming out of the shower, dressing herself or whatever it was, and noticed there was some dude outside the window looking at her. He flips out like absolutely any father that would have some creep, some pervert out staring in your daughter's window in a form of coming out of the shower, you go bananas. I mean, you see red. There is nothing that would stop you as a father from doing what he did. So he runs out there, catches the dude, pants down, fondling himself, yelled at the man to run away, chased him because obviously he wasn't just going to let him go with a warning. And this is what they said he had. He said he had a few words with him, a good conversation, which meant beating the living tar out of this dude. So you're going to outrun a professional athlete, a defensive back, even though he's been out of the league for 10 years. You think you're going to outrun a former professional NFL player after he catches you staring at his daughter through the window? Not a chance. So we beat him up pretty good. Got a lot of licks on him. I'm looking at a mugshot of this guy. It looks like he didn't miss at all because, man, he's got black eyes and bruises and cuts and all kinds of stuff on his face. This dude absolutely, absolutely deserves every single whooping he gets. So the former player Tony's wife told the TV station, she called police. They arrested Cassidy, the guy that was peeping through the window, the peeping Tom, for lewd behavior with a victim younger than 16 years old. He was held in jail on a $1,500 bond. His mugshot's out there. You can see it for yourself. I found that on the Detroit Free Press's website. Way to go, man. That guy, I tell you what, you don't mess with a dad and a daughter. You do something like that. I'm so glad he was able to catch this guy and whoop him up. I really do. No, don't give me that, Producer Mike. Can I read that out loud? Mike says, now that's toxic masculinity. Gillette should have put that in there. No, man, don't beat him up. It's okay that he had his pants down and fondling himself in front of the window. Don't set a bad example. Yeah, that's what Gillette's message would be. Don't let toxic masculinity get in your way. All right, I want to talk about that. You know who was one of the defenders of talking about how silly that Gillette ad is? Piers Morgan. Yeah, Piers Morgan over in the UK went off on this ad. And I got to play you the audio from this from Good Morning Britain. That's coming up just after the top of the hour. And maybe we'll take some calls on that too at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can reach the show by texting that first number too, wherever you are, from your lounger, from your RV, from your truck, if you're in a safe spot to do that. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.